Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Funny, you know, Tillerson's going to be the Secretary of State. And let me tell you something. This is a powerful individual. We're not talking about the kind of thing. This is a powerful dude. This is not one of those like, well, I know somebody who knows somebody. This is that somebody that you want to know when it comes to a lot of stuff. Running Exxon, that's some power right there. But it's funny, the conservatives, these social conservatives are worried that maybe he's too liberal. He's going to face fire from both sides of the aisle. It's going to be interesting to see how this plans out and plays out and how he does. And is he there for a specific reason? And is that specific reason to be this? A person that is literally a go-between between Putin and Trump. Is that what he's there for? And then Bolton, if he ends up becoming second in charge at the State Department, he's just going to be the guy that handles the nuts and bolts. Let me tell you, it works in radio, and I think, Producer Phil, you'll understand this. In most places, not all, but in most places, when you become a program director, your APD does a lot of the nuts and bolts, and you do a bunch of the other stuff.
That is correct, sir. Knowing, being as an APD, I know.
Yeah. So, you know, the majority of the hands-on stuff is done by somebody else. Is that a possibility? Absolutely. It is. But look, for the first time in our lifetime, we're going to get something we have never seen before, but we've always thought, in theory, if it was run like this, government may be good. We're going to have our government run as a business. It is going to be business-like. It's going to be run by billionaires and millionaires, entrepreneurs. People have been successful out there in the private sector of the world, not the public sector, but the private sector, who've built businesses, know exactly how to run things lean and mean, and always look at doing something, you know, hey, we've got to do this the right way. We've got X, Y, and Z, and that's all we can spend. We shouldn't be spending X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's read that thing about the $125 billion that went away from the State Department. You do realize that that wasn't just disappearing money. I think people think that was a waste of stuff. And by the way, everybody, whether you're in a local government setup, a state government setup, or a national federal government setup, you get a budget that is this, right? Your budget is $20 million. 6 weeks till the end of the year, you've spent $18 million. You know what happens if you don't spend the other two? Next year, they say, you don't need that, so we're going to give you $18. So what do? You rush out and you spend it. We incentivize them to waste our money. That's insane. Like, who does that? Because we're the ones who have to pay the bills. You, me, we're the taxpayers who, guess who comes calling and who's standing there holding them IOUs? Oh, a little bit more. Well, here you go. Hell, you know what I would rather do? Run this thing lean and mean, be efficient, and if you have $18 million and you have $2 million left over and you have 200 people in your department, we're going to give you guys X amount of dollars to split amongst yourself as a bonus because we're going to run it like a private side kind of thing, and the rest of it we'll put back in the kitty and see what we save. Oh. Private sector. We've got to increase productivity and cut costs. Public sector, spend all you want, and even if you don't do well, spend some more, and if that doesn't work, spend some more. So now, for the first time ever, we're going to really have an opportunity to find out what business people would be like running the government. It's not just about Barnum and Bailey and him being who he is. There is going to be a business side to this. He started off by making a call to Carrier. Hey, say what you like, whether he saved one job or no jobs. The fact that he made the call in an effort was something very interesting. Secondly, vitally important. He talked about Boeing and how expensive that thing was. Whether it's a right price or a wrong price, again, the fact that he's even talking about something like that makes you go, oh, okay. What if he really does cut into this deficit tremendously? What if he gets us lean and mean in a lot of ways? See, for a lot of people out there, it's social issues. They could care less. It's not their money. The things they're looking for in life, they don't care about. It's none of that stuff. They care about social issues. For me, I care about social issues. I think you know where I stand on a lot of stuff. But I want to see a government that's competent and run professionally. And I want to see somebody treat, if people in the financial industry treated taxpayer money like this, we say throw them in jail, right? We say throw them in jail. We say get rid of them. We say throw the book at them. We say more regulation. Who's regulating them? Because of all the waste that happens in Wall Street and everywhere else, no more waste happens there than probably a month in D.C. That waste is exponential. That waste is through the roof. That's insane. We worry about Wall Street when we should worry about D.C. And now we've got somebody in there who potentially, not saying he's going to, but the potential for him to run this like a business, the potential for him to use his position and the people he puts around him to actually look at stuff from a way, in a way that we haven't had it, because we can always just print more of it. And to finally say, we're going to hold people and we're going to hold not only people, we're going to hold parts of the government accountable for their actions. Again, you lose $6 billion, that's no big deal. It's not your money. What do you care? You lose $125 billion? We got to spend it or else. You should never be in a position where you got to spend it or else. We shouldn't penalize a portion of the government that may need this money, but this year they were able to do it a little bit leaner and meaner and didn't need it all. So we shouldn't have to say, oh, we're going to take it away from you if you don't spend it. It should be a year-by-year thing. But because it's not their money, because it's not, it has anything, those credit cards are paid off by us. Those credit cards are paid off by you and I. I want a competent government. We need a smaller government. No, we need a competent government. You can have a small government and it be incompetent. And I think you can have a brisk-sized government and it be competent. And the fact is our government's not going to shrink. We're not, you know, look, we may combine some. We may lose a few here and there. But we're not going to go overnight from X amount of millions of people working for the government down to 800,000. It's not going to happen. So let's focus on getting it right rather than the size of the government. Let's focus on the fact that we have somebody in place now who's going to treat this as a business, who's going to treat this as something that you and I should be going, okay, cool. This is what I wanted. I wanted an outsider. I wanted somebody who was going to shake some things up. And I wanted somebody who brought that professional experience from a private sector to the government to actually be able to try to shape this thing in a way that it runs efficiently. And it runs in such a way that we, the taxpayers, aren't always standing there having to pay people holding IOUs. We're going to have our chance now. He's putting people in place that are millionaires and billionaires that are successful and that I think will have a new, fresh approach. It may blow up. There's a possibility. And there's a possibility this thing could go all south real fast. As we say in England, ooh, the wheels came off fast. There is that possibility. But there's also a possibility that he could bring into something, into this, a new culture that will shape us going forward, that'll be more efficient, that'll be rewarded for good work, and there will be people held accountable for poor work, and that we'll find out that a lot of what we have fallen behind on, i.e. this debt and this massive deficit that we have, we're going to be able to fix. Trade deficit may shrink a little bit, and we could get tackling that $20 trillion. And in doing so, Some of it might just be waste. Dare I say there is that possibility? It is. Either way, I want him to succeed. I do. I hope and I pray he succeeds. I hope and I pray that this guy, Donald Trump, and the people he puts around him succeed. I want him to. Again, if you don't want him to, that's like having your, you know, somebody saying, hey, here's the deal. I'm the admiral. Nobody wants me to be admiral on this ship. And you guys are all hoping I sink, but you guys all happen to also be on the ship. That's stupid, right? Exactly. Stupid. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Got a lot of people texting in about Christmas songs, 323-538-2423. What's next? We do it every single day at this time, in this hour. We do this. Talk about what's next. Let's talk about what's next for President Obama as he moves forward from being president to being former president. Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see. What's next?
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? Every day at this time, we do what's next. We look and find out what's next for a certain issue or person. Today, we'll look at the current president, Barack Obama. What's next for him? He's a guy who came into office with a ton of hope, right? He was promising hope. He was promising change. Hell, he still jokes about it. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, and we're still not quite sure what he wanted for, and neither is he. A lot of people thought he was going to be the great uniter, and over time, he's become the great divider. Not strictly because of some of the things he's done. Some of it's just the way that we as a nation are. Some of it is some of the things he has done. Not all him. So what's next for the president? Well, first of all, it's got to be tough, all right? There's a poll out right now that you're voting on his legacy. He's either the worst president or the best president. It'll give you anything in between. How will time treat President Barack Obama? I think time will treat him fair. You know, a lot of people hated Bush when he left the White House, even a lot of Republicans out there. But when things settle down and that heat of the moment kind of feeling over the person that you're staring at and you just can't stare at him any longer and you're over it, you look back and you think, that really wasn't that bad. He did do some good things. You know what? It was okay. It was better than I thought. At the time, I thought it was horrible, but in retrospect, it wasn't that bad. I think that's the way a lot of people look at President Obama. Not everybody. There are people out there who are staunch Republicans who can't stand him, can't stand to look at him, can't want nothing to do with him. But even if he did a great job, they'd feel the same way. He's got some blemishes, that's for sure. Race relations is a big one. His jobs is very mixed at best, with it leaning towards not so good based on the jobs that came back. I think the way that he dealt with a lot of stuff as far as foreign relations went isn't good either. But I will say this, he was saddled with a horrific, horrific, almost depression era like recession when he came in. And I think he did the best he could. It's a huge job. Make no never mind. And I think Trump is starting to realize the size of this job. I think he's also excited about it. But like everything else in life, you don't know what you don't know until you actually get there. And I think he's going to look back on it, and we're all going to look back at it in different ways. Look, he was the first African-American president. He has definitely tried to do some things. And leaving now, as he is, he's going to look back, and over the next 100 days after Donald Trump is sworn in, he is going to see much of his legacy completely torn apart. Some of that would have fallen apart anyway. I think in many ways, Obamacare was struggling and somewhat on life support and was going to have to be really retinkered even if Hillary got in there. Secondly, the Iran deal is going to be up for grabs, and there's going to be a lot of issues there. TPP, another situation that he pushed for, and that it will be completely dismantled and won't get what it, you know, he thought it was going to be. There's a lot of these things. And it's going to be tough watching all of this stuff. The relationship with Cuba, where is that going to go? Again, another situation that they're all going to stare at, and they're going to talk about, and they're going to look at, and in many ways, they're going to dismantle. And think about this. Your legacy being dismantled in front of your eyes. How are you going to feel about such things? I think what's next for him is he rides off. He takes a few years off. He's going to stay in the D.C. area because his kids are finishing up school. And then he's moving out here towards the West Coast, not too far actually from where I live, literally just up the street. And that'll be one of his homes. I'm sure he'll have many. I think he's going to write his memoirs and books. He'll have a school. I think he'll give lots of speaking engagements. And he's a young guy. It's not like he's going to die tomorrow. So he's got a long way to go. And I think that it's not going to be the last we hear of the Obamas in the political realm, because they can say all they want about whether or not Michelle is or isn't going to run for something. But I have a feeling she will at some point in time run for something. But I think he's going to sit back and relax. And I think he's going to write books. And I think we'll finally get that book that actually gives us the open and honest, non-politically correct, walking the tightrope answers that may even open him up for more criticism from both people on the left and right. But that's what's next for President Barack Obama. The Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. People are hammering us out there for the whole, you know, I liked White Christmas. Why don't you like that? It's not me. Wham! I love the Wham song. People texting in 323-538-2423 saying that they hate Christmas music, just in general. Text the show 323-538-2423. This is interesting. Is it he, she, or Z? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Earlier we talked about the most hated Christmas songs, people texting in. Ed Birch posted some on Facebook page, the waitress's Christmas rapping. Don't you worry, we're not done yet. Some of the Christmas songs out there, there's your favorites, and you love them, and then the same people next to you, sitting right next to you, who you love and know as your friends, they're like, I hate that song. So it really depends, right? The mood you're in, are you in love? Do you hate it? The whole nine yards. Somebody wrote in early, what about that date rape song, Baby, It's Cold Outside? He said, I don't think that's what it was meant to be, but, you know. Okay, awkward. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Again, text the show, 323-538-2423. Look, I'm as open-minded as anybody, and this story blew up, and Oxford is now coming out and said, well, not all of what you're hearing is true, as it's reported by other agencies. Fake news! Ah! But there's a bubble that kids live in colleges around the country. This weird place of progressive ideology where it's groupthink, and the only thing that matters is, if you're going to get really involved in this stuff, is the left-leaning kind of groupthink, and that we must be inclusive to everybody. It doesn't matter who it is, right? Doesn't matter what you do. We talked about that guy yesterday from Venezuela that looks like Red Skull from Hellboy or Captain America, whatever the hell he was in. And you'd have to be inclusive to him. You got to be inclusive to everybody, except anybody with a conservative viewpoint, because you can hate them. And white males, of course. because they're the worst. Oxford has come out and said, look, we didn't say this. We are encouraging people, though. They said we would never tell anybody to use the word Z. Instead, he or she as a pronoun. Because, and we use Z apparently. I'm not quite sure what we use Z for. I thought about this today. Well, it's so we don't upset transgender people. Yeah, but aren't you going from a he to a she? So wouldn't you rather me call you she? Like, wouldn't you? Because if I say Z, that's like saying a cat's neutered. It's not a boy or a girl. It's just whatever. It's fixed. Right? You want to be a female. You want to be a male. So wouldn't you rather me address you as such? He or she?
But, Chad, what if you're gender fluid?
What is that? What in God's name does that even mean? Like, I don't know what half of this stuff is anymore. Gender fluidity, you know, pansexual, like what? Oh, I love pans now. I'm totally hot, man. I'm hot for pans. I used to be hot for teachers. Now, woo, you get me a pan and watch out. I'm going to be cooking something up. Like, you know, it's like queer friendly. Is that even a word? You're just now making stuff up. Gender fluidity. Have you really, like, do you have animal fluidity? Well, yes, yesterday I was a leopard, but today I've decided to be a cheetah. And tomorrow I'm going to probably be a moose. It's like, that's just, but I'm looking at the stuff with the Z thing. Like, this is just, it shows you the bubble. And I was telling producer Anthony today, it to me is, everybody's got to change because one person feels uncomfortable. So rather than all of us just try to watch, you know, do our best and get on with our lives, we all have to be extra careful. And now literally the flea wags the tail, which wags the dog, and the flea is the champion. It's not about being rude or anything like that, but I always thought to myself, so you want to be a female, but you're male, or you want to be a male, but you're female. So you're dressing like a female. You're trying to become a female. So wouldn't you rather me address you as she if I have to? If you decide to go from Larry to Linda, wouldn't you rather me call you Linda and she? Because if I say Z, it's like you're stuck in the middle. Like you've created a bizarre third sex. But it shows you the bubble that they live in. There was a... Actually, Anthony, can you find out where that professor was that called Trump and his election as a terrorist act? Can you believe that? Like, you are not operating in the world of reality if you think that is true. You're not operating in a world of reality. You have lost the plot. If you can honestly look at people, if you can honestly look at individuals and tell them that you believe in your heart that this was a terrorist act perpetrated by evil foreign people and, you know, like Russia and whatnot, and a crazy neocon Americans to destroy America, you're insane. You're idiot fluidity. Orange Coast College course right here. Olga Cox, OCC, played there. Not too far from my mom's house. I don't expect anything other than that. That's insanity right there. But do you see the bubble that these people live in? Z. What in God's name? Like, what is that? And you've really pissed me off with gender fluidity, producer Phil.
Sorry.
Pansexual. Trisexual, heteroflexible. That one, I've seen that one. Heteroflex. What does that even mean? Like, I'm looking, there's like 50 things you can check now. You don't have moose on here. I identify as a moose. Like, are we supposed to believe that now? Well, that person's insane. Really? Why so? Like, if he thinks he's Batman, shouldn't we just say, well, that's Batman? Like, if that's what somebody really thinks, if he in his heart feels that he's Batman, that he's Bruce Wayne, that he could fight crime, who am I to tell him no at this point in time? But I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to call him Z. If you want to be a woman and you identify as a woman, I'm going to say, hey, she. If you want to be a man, you identify as a man, I'm going to say he. I'm not putting a third one out there because I just don't feel the need for it. I'm already confused enough with gender fluidity and pansexual and hetero flexible and queer friendly and rainbow rangers and anything else that anybody wants to come up with. I just made that one up. Somebody's going to run with it, though. Like, oh, my God, that's a great one. It's insane. But that's the bubble that they live in. There's a bubble here. And they think that the world lives like this outside of this bubble. Did you see what happened? Was it at Penn? Here's an Ivy League school where they go and they take down and they rip this guy. We'll call him Billy Shakespeare, right? Bill. William, you might know him as. They tear down his portrait and they replace it with a black feminist poet. What? Why? Why? I mean, I'm curious. Audre Lorde is a black female writer, and that is the portrait that is up. The English department voted to relocate and replace the portrait a few years ago in order to represent a more diverse range of writers. It's just, but it's the insanity of it all. Look, that's fine if you want to put her up. But the truth is, it's an old English white guy who wrote a bunch of plays that but he's not hip and cool now, right? It's all hip and cool. Quick, find me the black lesbian poet, because that is what America's clamoring for. Chad, I'm just being honest. You live in a bubble. She may be the most incredible writer. She may be absolutely fantastic. But the fact that they've done something like this shows you the bubble that they're living in. And the reality is they get out there and nobody lives like this. Nobody does. Nobody's as gender fluid, queer friendly, hetero flexible Z than me. But I'm also not a dumbass. What are you? What?
Sapiosexual. That's attracted to intelligence.
Yeah, sapiosexual. I'm good with that. Like, if you like smart people, there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that you have to put that, you can't just say, I really like people who are intelligent. You have to identify something. I am sapiosexual. Pansexual. I'm really attracted to people who play the pan flute. So if you play the pan, oh, you're one of those people from Bolivia. Or Zamfir. Do you remember Zamfir?
Master of the pan flute.
Master of the pan flute. That's pansexual right there. That guy was the Chuck Mangione of blowing into bamboo things out in the middle of the wilderness. Oh, my God. Did he use a Chuck Mangione reference? He did. And it stuck. So deal with it. Pansexual. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to look up some of these things. I am. I'm angry. Z. You can kiss Z ass. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Text the show, your hate or love, 323-538-2423. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all?
Text the show, 323-538-2423. We're going on the rant about G. How do you spell Z or G? How do you spell G? Z-H-S-E-E, Z-Z-Z, Z-H-E, Z-Z-A-E. It's Z-E, by the way. Love the rant. I go through it in my head every darn time I listen to the latest flavor of the day. Isn't it time for a G in the White House? Do you say, wow, G is hot? What if somebody's named G? Have you thought of that? Possible. 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 Other texter writes in about yesterday which we might revisit a little bit later about the insanity that was Pastor Grisham or Grisham, who went just loony at the Amarillo Mall over the Santa Claus thing. Listen to your story last night, Pastor's rant in the mall about no Santa. I'm surprised some butthurt millennial didn't come to his defense for his First Amendment rights or the fact that nice boys and girls get presents and naughty ones get jack. Who decides? Question mark. Seems to be microaggression to me, and all that stuff about him watching you. Isn't that a violation of privacy rights? Yeah, buddy. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Look, I love stuff. I love food. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I think Donies are a day. Donut Friday. I bring donuts in, and Thursday, you know, Anthony and I start talking about the donuts that we'll be bringing in on Friday for everybody to consume, right? You know, and by the way, we bring, like, we especially this time here, because, you know, we have clients that do other stuff, and they'll send us stuff. So there's food pretty much everywhere in here right now, and you will not go hungry here. I mean, those Ethiopian kids want to come over here from 1984, they will be fed. It's funny because it's like when you go to a party and you're like your wife or your girlfriend will drag you to a party or whatever. And you're like, is this one of those parties I have to eat to before I go because the food's going to suck? Like, no. And there's like somebody brings the thing of chicken wings and carrots with ranch and all the other. And all that's gone is the carrots with ranch has been eaten. All the chicken wings are gone. And then all the foo-foo crap still sitting there. Right? Like, it's all sitting there. Look, I love food. We do. Donuts, I bring them in, they're all gone. We got a bunch of other stuff, sweets out there. It's all sitting there. Donuts, boom. But as much as I love donuts, I don't love donuts the way that this girl loves. And I think love is an understatement. The McRib. This is a girl, I think she's in her teens, maybe early 20s. Her name is Xanthi Paria, and she went to the Santa Clarita city council meeting to bitch about the fact that there was no McRib in her area because the managers are allowed to choose nowadays McDonald's what they want to bring back seasonally. She was so apoplectic and upset that she dragged her ass and her cool pink hair to the meeting to have her voice heard about this. Take a listen.
To be honest, like, the removal of the McRib from the menu has affected my family because every Thanksgiving, my family would, like, order a 50-piece chicken McNugget and, like, 10 McRibs. It was, like a tradition in our family. And now it's, like, well, like, my family's holiday spirit's kind of messed up and broken.
She got it for Thanksgiving?
That was her Thanksgiving meal. And her whole holiday is screwed. Producer Phil, you don't get it. This was her Thanksgiving. 50-piece McNuggets, 10 McRibs, all for her pleasure, and gone. But it's not over there. She continues.
So basically what I'm trying to say is, like, I come to you in this matter that I hope you members of the council can help and speak to these McDonald's managers. I don't know. To me, like, Thanksgiving for my family without this, like, McRib is like a Christmas, like, without snow. It just doesn't make sense.
Chad?
But it's... Yes, Bill.
Let me get this straight. So this is her Thanksgiving.
This was her Thanksgiving.
Okay, I think I got it. No, wait.
But this is not just Thanksgiving. It's the whole holiday season that has been ruined. Because there was more to the McRib. And by the way, out here where I live, beautiful Palm Springs, California, this area, when you drive up and down the street, McDonald's has a bunch of signs up. The McRib is back. The McRib is back. It's everywhere. You can see it. In her area, they chose to go sans the rib. They're like, we don't need this. We're not going to do it. So this didn't work enough. So she decided to write a song. Wrote a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it goes.
This year, McDonald's chose to rob us of tradition and left us all with broken hearts. Because we've got McRib blues.
doing all John Popper there. Who, by the way, I think has had a few McRibs in his lifetime as well.
Let me say, darling, that was the worst thing I'd ever heard. Now, I'm just being honest here.
You know what? She's got a great voice.
She does. If it was the McRib Blues, though, it should have been in blues chords.
It should have been in blues chords, that's right. She'd be like, ribs are stole from me.
I ain't got no McRibs.
They come and crying my rib away, and I'm all crying. Oh, Shanti, I hope you get McRibbed for your pleasure. McDonald's, do the right thing. Send them a giant, huge thing of McRibs so their holidays can be restored. And it truly will be a Christmas miracle. Text the Chad Benson Show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's a Christmas miracle. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.